Gemara. Okay, so tomorrow we'll start from Tesam and Beis, and today we'll do the Parsha. Parsha's Vayetze. Beginning of Parsha's Vayetze, Rashi quotes a comment from the Gemara that originally it says, Vayikach me'avne hamokim, that he took several stones. Then it says in the morning when he woke up, Vayikach eso heaven, Ashesamer Ashoysav, all of a sudden it became one heaven. But in the beginning it sounds like there were several avonim. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara and Chulin, originally there were several avonim, and each heaven wanted all of Teva, urines, to serve the role of Avodas Hashem. So every heaven wanted Alay Aniach Tzadik as Rosho. So a miracle occurred and all the avonim blended in together and it turned into one heaven. This is this Haggadah is quoted in the Hagdamah to the Mesilas Yesharim, and he explains that we believe that the whole world was created to serve in Avodas Hashem. I remember many years ago when there was a Gerer Rebbe who passed away. I think it must have been the Beis Yisrael. So one of the Israeli newspapers had a lot of stories about the Gerer Rebbe at that time. So one of the stories was that a Chassidus Sofer came to the Rebbe and he told him that he's medakdek. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that you cannot write Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos on or Behemah Tameyah, on hide that was converted into parchment, if it comes from a non-kosher animal. But if it comes from a kosher animal, even if it didn't have a proper shechita, even if it's in the Beil or Trefa, that's okay. Menambuta beficha means it has to be a kosher animal. So this chassid was telling the Rebbe that he's machmer, he personally is machmer, that he only uses parchment that came from an animal that was geshachten and it's glad kosher. Just like he's makpid on glad kosher, eating glad kosher, so he's makpid glad kosher for the parshas of the Sefer Torah and the Tefillin. So the Rebbe told him, I think you should do faker, that the kosher animals that are geshachten properly and have glad kosher, so the meat from those animals do serve in Avodas Hashem. Religious Jews eat the meat and they get koyach, and they're able to daven, they're able to learn, they're able to do mitzvahs, but the koyach that they get from eating the meat. But nebuch the nebelus, the treifus, the flesh from that animal never serves as part of Avodas Hashem. So maybe it would be a hidur to use dafke, parchment from the nebelus, the treifus, so those animals would also have a chance of serving as part of Avodas Hashem. The Rambam in the Hagdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos has such a mashal. He says, if an Arab sheik makes a palace somewhere in the desert and he has dancers dancing all the time, he throws parties all the time, his palace doesn't serve at all as part of Avodas Hashem. But once there's a chacham traveling through in the desert and he's exhausted and he has to rest up, so he may rest up in the shadow of this palace, so it'll turn out that the palace had a toyelis, the palace existed for 100 years, and finally it served as Avodas Hashem. If a chacham rested in the shade of the palace, it finally served as part of Avodas Hashem. So that's our Rav Avivah Soloveitchik, based on that, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, Rav Avivah Soloveitchik explained the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, that Lo'asi Lovo in Yoyim Adin, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take out a Sefer Torah and I'll ask all the nations of the world, who was Isaac in the Torah? Whoever was Isaac, whoever supported Torah, Yovo V'yitol Schar. So the Romans will say, we made bridges and we made highways, and all the bridges and all the highways are in order that the Jewish people should be able to travel to the yeshiva to learn Torah. So the Baruch Shalom is going to punish them. What a bunch of liars they are. They made the bridges to make money. They made the highways to charge tax on the highway. It wasn't at all for the purpose of that the Jewish people should learn Torah. So Rav Avivah asked, how did the goyim have such a chutzpah on the yom hadin to tell such a lie? So he said, he doesn't think that it's a lie. It's the truth, like the Rambam said. the sheikh made a palace, and the palace lasted for 100 years, and it never served this part of Avodas Hashem. But once a chacham passes by, and he has to rest up, so he takes a nap in the shade of the palace. So the 100 years of existence of the palace had a toyelis that once it served as Avodas Hashem. So that's what the Umos HaOlam will claim. That's what the Roman government will claim. He made all the highways, he made all the bridges. True, he made it for our purposes. But the end of the story was that it did serve as part of Avodas Hashem. That the people who wanted to go to the yeshivas were able to go faster because of the highways and the bridges. He thought, Rav Elbala thought, that that's the taina that the Umos HaOlam will have, based on what the Rambam wrote in Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos.
So what's the response?
Not sure that their kavana was lehepak. They didn't have this in mind at all. So when they printed this years ago, and they printed this in the name of Rav Elbala, when it was Mipi HaShmua, so they had comments there also. So the comment was that Rav Baruch Ber said what the Rebbe said is certainly correct. The Rebbe was the Rebbe's son. Rav Chaim was the greatest, and Rav Chaim's son Rav Elbala, of course, what he said is correct. But he thinks there's still a big chutzpah on the part of the Romans, that they should taina, that they should deserve schar because of that. That's what Ibn Shalom says. In my plan in the world, everything that I created is to serve as part of Avodas Hashem. But that's not what they had in mind. So they don't deserve any schar. But that's what the Mesillas Yerushalayim has in the Hakdamah, that's what this Agadah is driving at. The parasha begins.
So when you say that, like, if you drop a coin somewhere and he finds it, then you get schar for tzedakah, even though you probably are upset that you lost the coin.
So yeah.
Make the same claim. And then you,
okay.
You didn't have intent to give tzedakah, but you get schar anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Like that.
The Tosefta learns it out from Shikha. One of the matonis of Shikha means you forgot, then the ani takes it. So you see that you get reward. But there's a difference, though, because by Shikha, the person forgot the tvua, and then he realizes that the tvua is there, so he doesn't go back to take it. So his conscious decision not to go back and take it is considered a mitzvah. Here, the fellow dropped a quarter from his pocket, he doesn't even know that he dropped it. And then Ani picked it up, and he's mispinus from the quarter, so the fellow didn't make any conscious decision. So that's a difficult tosefta. Tosefta says that you get reward for tzedakah, even though you didn't make any conscious decision at all, and they learn it out from Shikha. It's a problematic Tosefta. How can you learn it out from Shikha?
Do we hold by non-Jews that Mitzvah's Kavana? Because it sounds like from what Rebbe's saying that non-Jews get Tzchar even though they didn't have Kavana.
No, maybe not. I don't know. That's what the Baruch Shalom says. You didn't have that in mind. They meant the Litzarach Atzmam. What Rav Elbala said is that in the Rebbe Shlom's plan in the world, there he wants everything else in the world should serve for the purpose of Avodas Hashem. So everything ultimately does serve, but you only deserve reward if you had that in mind. If you didn't have that in mind, you had the hepach in mind. They wanted to kill the Jewish people. Why should they get reward because they made highways? I don't think so. I think he means a scholar. What's the Talmud Chacham doing traveling in the desert? It's probably a Chacham, a scholar. And we need those people also in the world. Yeah. The Parsha begins and ends with the Malochim. The beginning of the Parsha, you have Malochim Olam Yoredim. At the end of the Parsha, it says that Yaakov Avinu bumps into the Malochim. Rekeshem HaMakom Ahu Machanoyim. So Rashi, at the end of the parasha, quotes from the Medrash. Rashi, both at the beginning and the end, quotes from the Medrashim. The pasuk says, Ki malach v'tzavalach l'shmorcha b'chol derachecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a hashgacha protest to every person, and there's more hashgacha protest to Bnei Yisrael. So we assume that there's more hashgacha protest in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lord. So you have Malachi Eretz Yisrael and Malachi in Chutz Lord. So when Yaakov Avinu is about to leave in the beginning of the Sedra, so the Malachim who are going with him in Eretz Yisrael go back to heaven, and new Malachim come down to protect him when he's about to go to Chutz Lord. End of the Sedra, he's returning back to Eretz Yisrael, so there's a change of the guard again. So the Malachi Chutz Lord go back to heaven. And Malachi Eretz all come to protect them. So we assume that in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara in the beginning of Tainus has that comment. Eretz Hashem Hashem Malkech Haba Mireishes Hashana Vad Achri Shana, that there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lords. Hashgacha Pratis is not the same for all people and in all places. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Hashem Hashem Malkech Haba Mireishes Hashana Vad Achri Shana. What is the Chaloyim of Yaakov Avinu supposed to represent? Malach Malav Yardim. So that's one interpretation. What Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Malachi Chutz Lords are going, Malachi Eretz are going back to heaven, and Malachi Chutz Lords are coming down. But then the Gemara in Perikid Anosha and the Medrash Rabbah have additional interpretations. So the Gemara in Gid Anosha has an interpretation that the Malachim heard that this man who's sleeping, the Musti Yukna Shal Yankiv, is Chakuk al Kisi HaKovet. Pasuk says in Yecheskel that there are four heads on the Kisi HaKovet. You have the Mus Aryeh, Pnei Aryeh, Pnei Nesher, Pnei Kruv, and Pnei Odom. So the Pnei Odom, according to our tradition, is the facial features of Yankiv Avinu. So the Malachim go up to heaven to see what potential this individual has. The Dmus Diyukna Chakuk al Kisi HaKovet, and he has tremendous potential. Then they come down, they see the fellow is sleeping. Someone with such tremendous potential is sleeping. So the Gemara says, Biksha Lahargoy. They wanted to kill Yankiv because he's not fulfilling his potential. V'ini Hashem Nitzav Alov. So the Mefarshim have two ways to translate Alov. Alov means on top of Yankiv Avinu to protect him, or Alov on top of the ladder. So the Gemara interprets, according to that pshad, the Malachim Biksha Lahargoy, because he's not living up to his potential. So Hini Hashem Nitzav Alov, HaKadosh Baruch is protecting Yaakov Avinu. It tells Malachim, go away, don't pester him. He has to sleep, he's exhausted. But what the Medrash is driving at is, I don't know why this was such a, when I go around visiting the different yeshivas, so this is one of the repeated questions. Is there anything wrong with taking marijuana just to relax, or with drinking just to relax? So what's wrong? Sleeping, oversleeping. So each one of us has potential, and if a person gets drunk, so he's taking away his b'chira chavshis temporarily, not permanently. Or if a person sleeps too long, he sleeps more than he has to, so he's wasting away his life. People, we have tremendous potential. We should use it to do something productive. And the same thing with marijuana. A person has tremendous kishrinus, like Yaakov Avinu, will be called on the carpet by the Bezin Shalmaila if we don't use those kishrinus that we have. This is one interpretation that the Gemara has in the beginning of Perigit Anosh Biksha Lahorga, because he saw the Mustayuk Nechakuk al Kisya Kovar Abchaim Balajaner has that barichas in his Sefer Nefesh Shachaim. Then the Medrash has another interpretation on the pasuk. In addition to what Rashi wrote, Rashi wrote, Malachi Eretz Yisrael are leaving, Malachi Chutz Lors are coming. A change in the guard, because in Chutz Lors there's less Hashgacha Pratis than in Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash has another interpretation, that the Malachim Olam Yardim represent the Malachim of each nation. That's an idea that appears later in Tanakh, I think in Daniel, that every nation has a, like Sora Shal Esav. Rashi talks about the beginning of Ayishlach, the Malach who broke Yaakov Avinu's leg was Sora Shal Esav. So that's an idea that appears in Tanakh, that every nation has a Malach who takes care of that nation. So the Medrash says Malach and Olam Yordim represents the idea that Mark Twain writes about, that every nation has a rise and fall, and then they disappear from the horizon. In world history, you have a rise and fall of the Greeks, rise and fall of the Romans, rise and fall of the Babylonians, rise and fall of the Egyptian culture, rise and fall of the Third Reich. Everything, the rise and fall of every country. So Yaakov Avinu sees Malachim Molam Yordim. Then the Medrash continues, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, okay, now it's your turn. I want you to climb up on the ladder. So he says, no, he doesn't want to climb up. If he climbs up, then he's going to go down. He doesn't want to have the same as the other nations, rise and fall. So the Baruch Shalom says, don't worry, I'm going to hold you in. It's not going to be rise and fall. If one were to draw a chart of the history of any culture, of any civilization, so the chart would reach a peak and then it would go down, rise and fall, and it disappears from the horizon. And the Jewish people, last thought, that's what Mark Twain says. He doesn't understand. How come the Jewish people still continue to exist? If you were to draw the chart of the Jewish people, it would be zigzag. It would go up and down all the time. When we do mitzvahs, it goes up. When we do averis, it goes down. Rambam HaChumash writes us, it makes sense that v'nasati gishmeichem itam, if we keep the mitzvahs, it rains. When we do averis, v'yotar es ha-shamayim, lo yiyam otar, doesn't rain. Does it make sense that when we violate Shemitah, Eretz is always taken away from us? We sent it to Golus. It doesn't, the Derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense. The history of the Jewish people is L'mayla Men HaTeva. And there's such a medrash, that rise and fall, such a medrash on Parshas Boy, Achodesh HaZalachem, that the Umas HaOlam have a solar calendar, so their histories are like the rise and fall, the rise and setting of the sun. Sun rises, reaches a peak, and then it sets and it disappears. So each nation is like that. It has a rise and a fall, reaches a peak, and then the nation disappears from the picture of world history. And the Jewish people are like the moon. We count ours as a lunar year, ours is a lunar month. It's a solar year, but it's a lunar month. December 1st, January 1st, February 1st don't necessarily correspond to the Chiddush Alvana. By us, it's a lunar month. Rish Chodesh always has to do with the Chiddush Alvana. So by us, it's just like the moon grows bigger and bigger, smaller and smaller. It disappears for 18 hours, then it reappears, then it disappears, reappears, disappears. That's why we say, Hey, Masidim L'schadosh K'mosa L'for Al Yotzim Al Shem K'vayim Malchusay. In the Chiddush Levana, the Bracha, we say that the history of the Jewish people is like the Levana. We get bigger, smaller, but we don't disappear from the scene of world history. And then the Medrash says that just like it takes 15 days till it's full moon, and then after 15 days it disappears, so too the Medrash says that there were 15 generations starting from Avraham Avinu till Shlomo HaMelech. During the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech, there was peace in Eretz Yisrael, and he was the king. There was unity. There was no split in Eretz Yisrael. And everybody had parnasa, and everything was fine. And then, after he passed away, everything started going downhill for 15 generations. And the 15th generation is like when the moon disappears and it's dark, so too the 15th generation was Tzidkiyahu. So Melech Bavel blinded Tzidkiyahu, Eini Tzidkiyahu Iver. They took away his eyesight and he was blind. So that corresponds to the moon disappearing after 15 days. And then there's a period of time where the moon is invisible. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, for 18 hours, you can't see the moon. So that's Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that we often read Haftaris that were chosen because the Mechazik, the Emun, and Bias HaMashiach. That's why we recite the bracha after reciting the Haftarah. Samchenu Hashem Elkeinu be'aliyahu anu av yavdecha malchus beis David mishichecha v'heri yavo v'yagel ibeinu. That many of the Haftarahs were chosen because they're mechazik, the amunah in geula, in bias hamashiach, and so on. So that's why we mention that in the bracha in the end. And whenever a Chodesh falls out on a Sunday, so we recite the Haftarah v'acha Chodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik said, we could have had such a Haftarah when Pesach falls out in the middle of the week also, when Shavuos falls out in the middle of the week, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, it could also have done. They only chose it for Rosh Chodesh because we are now in the Tkufa, since the time of Eini Tzidkiyahu Iver, the end of the Vaisrishim period, till Bias HaMashiach. This is all the p'china of the 18 hours when the moon disappeared. That's Mocha Chodesh. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh means you can't see the Levana now. So temporarily, the Levana is hiding, but it's going to be renewed. So that's why they chose this Haftarah. We are now in a long Tkufet, a few thousand years, of Mocha Chodesh. And the theme of the Haftarah is also, what's in Mocha Chodesh? Yonasan, the son of Shaul HaMelech, and David were the best of friends. So Yonasan gives over the Malchus to his dear friend David. Why did Yonasan have to give over to David? Why shouldn't he give over to Yonasan? David should give over the Malchus to Yonasan. Yonasan's father was the king, so why shouldn't Yonasan Yashin from the father? The answer is that Yonasan knew that there was a nevuah that if David will become the Melech, the Malchus will be, that'll be the Malchus HaNevcheres, and it'll last, even if there'll be a Hapsoker, there will be a Gula Hasida from the descendants from David HaMelech. So that's why he gave up the Malchus. Yonasan gave up the Malchus in favor of David. David did give it up in the favor of Yonasan, because there was no such Haftacha for Yonasan, the son of Shaul, but there was a Haftacha for David. So that Haftarah was chosen because of that Haftacha, because of that Nevuah, that because David became the Melech and not Yonasan, that's why the Nevuah will be fulfilled, that there will be a Melech HaMashiach. And the first daf in Chulin, the Gemara quotes a machlokes hatanoim, commenting on the pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk says, "Tova shelo tida mishitida v'lo tishalem." It's better not to take a neder at all, rather than to take a neder to give money to tzedakah, and you're not going to live up to the neder. Tova shelo tida mishitida v'lo tishalem. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. Is it told mizeh mizeh sheinanoi de kol iker? Tov mizeh mizeh, that he is neder and he's mekayim. So we usually assume tov mizeh mizeh better than both. Better than neder and mekayim, and better than neder and mekayim is that in a neder kalika, best is never to take any neder at all. With the one exception of mitzolida b'yeis tzorah. That's the first page in Chelek Gimel, Yeridah. It starts with Hilchos Nedarim. So the paskan is better not to take any neder at all. That's why the Rishonim discuss, why do we have a practice that when we get an aliyah, you say, Mishabech Mesei Babush Anadar. How come we make appeals and shuls? What happened to this Gemara? Tov Mizeh Mizeh in a Noda Kalikar. It's a mitzvah lida b'yeis tzara. Here, Yaakov Avinu is running away from Esav because Mistachim L'cholo Hargecho, he wants to kill him. So he's running away, so he's b'yeis tzara. So he offers the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he'll make a deal with him, like a Krisis Bris. You take care of me, if you make a deal with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, someone in the family is sick, or someone wants to excel, wants to be accepted to graduate school, or some say he pledges to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, if you give someone a for shlema, if I'll succeed in business or whatever, if I'll succeed to be accepted in this school, so I pledge, I'll give tzedakah. So that's like a deal with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So that's what the Shach quotes from the Sefer Hasidim, Amidus Hasidus, that such a neder, you really shouldn't, you should never be matter such a neder. He made a deal with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he gave you the Refuah Shleima. So you're going to back out on your half of the deal. So he may decide to take away the Refuah Shleima. He made a Krisis Bris with him. So that's what Tosis quotes the Medrash Rab on this pasuk. The problem is that it says Vaydaba Shama Moshe Lemer, such a popular pasuk. So the Gemara, in modern English, we translate Vayda B'Shem Moshe, and the Lord spoke unto Moshe, saying. Lema means saying. So in modern English, you'd leave out the word Lema. Hebrew, you just put a colon and a quotation mark. Lema means a colon with a quotation mark. So the Gemara says in Yume, in the first pack, that's not what it means. Vayda B'Shem Moshe, Lema li Yisrael. He authorized Moshe Rabbeinu that he has permission and he has an obligation to tell over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have said, Leimah Yisrael, would have been understood that Moshe Rabbeinu is not supposed to reveal the secrets that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told him. Whenever a person gets a nevuah, whenever a person hears anything from anybody, it's assumed that it's to be kept secret unless you're authorized to be mefarsimet. Chofetz Chaim talks about this then. He talks about Lashon Hara, things that you're not allowed to say. So he says one of the things you're not allowed to talk about is private information that someone told you. Someone told you that he's considering divorcing his wife. Someone told you that he's considering quitting his job and going to work in a different city or something like that. So that's assumed to be told to you in confidence unless the person said lema, unless he authorized you to say. So if the word lemer always has that connotation, Adam B'Shem Moshe lemer Israel, how do you read over here? Vayidah Yankdev Neder lemer. What's lemer? Means saying. It means calling in quotation mark. So the Medrash says no, lemer lederes. Vayidah Yankdev Neder, Yankdev Neder took a neder, lemer lederes, to teach all the future generations that it's a mitzvah leader b'yestar, that it's recommended to accept the dorm. That's why the Balei Musar, I remember the Mashgiach every year in the Yeshiva, Rabbi Lesson would always say, Balei Musar say, Ar Rosh Hashanah, Ona Kabbalah is Nishkin Rosh Hashanah. You're not mekabel any New Year's resolutions, you're not mekabel some Midas Chasidus, some Zahiris, some Diktuk and Shmiras HaMitzvahs. A person should be mekabel Rosh Hashanah time, things that are not too difficult to observe, like be mekabel to be Mavi Sedra every week on time, and to learn a couple of Svarim and Novi every year. This Sefer, two Svarim, whatever, to cover so much ground in Gemara. You shouldn't write 300 blot Gemara a year. That's maybe it's too difficult. Write down your Kabbalah. So write down a Kabbalah. That's reasonable that you think for sure that you'll be able to do it. So that's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an Esor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging the whole world. So that's a mitzvah leader. It's a mitzvah to be mekabel something on yourself. So Yankov Avinu took a neder, Aser Asher Melach, is going to give tzedakah. He's going to give Maaseh Kesafim. But one should accept whatever. We're not rolling in money. So maybe rather than be mekabel to give tzedakah, maybe mekabel to learn a little better, to learn a little stronger. Good morning, Subis.
When Rabbi asked the question, how can we make appeals in shul? The tarot is that it's always an eight. You're only mutter based Sarah, or just once as a kasha?
That's a good. All the Rishonim ask on the beginning of Nedarim, they all talk about that. Because the beginning of Nedarim also, like on the first daf in Chulin, the Gemara says, more correct is never to take any Nedarim. So in the back of Gemara in Nedarim, you have the Ramban wrote Hilchas Nedarim. There was no riff, so he wrote the style of the riff. So on one side, on the other side, you have the Ritvah, on the other side you have the Nebuki Yosef. So they both talk about that. What's the heter to take Nedarim all year long? It's not an Eis Tzara. So why do we allow it? So they give different explanations. The Gemara in Ksubis, we spoke a little bit about it on the last piece of Gemara, right before the Mishnah on Testament Beis. The Tosafot quotes the Gemara that Hamavazu Zayavazu is Yosef Michoimesh. When it comes to observing a mitzvah saseh, a person is obligated to spend up until 1/5 of his total savings, but not more. Not mechuyav to spend more than 1/5 of his total savings. The Gemara in Ksubas on Daf Nun is not really talking about mitzvahs. The Gemara is talking about tzedakah, the laniyim. If you're going to give more than, the Gemara says, we recommend to give Maisek Sofim, and we would sometimes recommend to give Aser Asreno Loch twice Maiser is Chaimish, but we wouldn't recommend to give more than Chaimish because Shema Yeyonev it's Tarach Labrias. If he's going to give too much money, he may become poor. So what did he accomplish? The whole idea of Tzedakah is to eradicate poverty in the world, so you're not going to eradicate the poverty. And give away your money to other people, you will become poor. So you haven't accomplished anything. So the original Gemara really goes, Amavazai Vasa and Samachemish, goes on Stokalo Anim. We mentioned the Shitim Lubetzis, as it doesn't even apply to supporting yeshivas. It only goes on Stokalo Anim. So how did the Shulchan Aruch know that it applies to mitzvahs? That was a problem. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Brura had the kashas from the Gemara Kiddushin. Fellow only has 5 sloim. So should he give it for his own pidyon haben or for his son's pidyon haben? So the Mishnah Berurah said he shouldn't give it at all. No, he's giving away the last $5 that he has. So we said the Chazon Ish has an answer on it. But that's that whole institution, that whole idea, is based on the Gemara's comment on this pasuk, Aser Asrein Aloch, means twice Meisim. Twice Meisim is already a Chomash. Pasuk tells us that when Yaakov Avinu arrived all the way in where Laban lived, so he sees the shepherds are hanging around the well. No one's doing any work. They're not leading the animals to graze. And he thought that they were loafing. So he wanted to give them to a chacham. How come they're not putting in a full day's work? He was very honest. Pasuk says later, when he tells his two wives, Leah and Rachel, tells the two wives, Aten yedatin ki b'chol kochi avadati asavichen. He put in his full effort and energy to do the work that he was hired for, to watch the sheep. And the Rambam quotes that halacha, that Yaakov Avinu, he calls him Yaakov HaTzadik, we usually refer to Yaakov Avinu, the Rambam calls him Yaakov HaTzadik, said, "B'chol kochi avadati asavichem," that a person who has a job is supposed to put his full effort and energy into the job. He shouldn't have the attitude, the fellow who had the job before me didn't work so hard, so why do I have to work my head off? What should I do more than him? So I'm only getting the same salary that he got. So the din is, you're not allowed to make such a cheshbon just because the guy before didn't accomplish so much. You're mechuyev to put your full efforts and energy into the job, even though you're not paid so much. And if you don't like the salary, ask the boss for an increase. If he doesn't want to give you an increase and you don't like it, get a job somewhere else. But you're not allowed to loaf on the job. So that's what Yankov was had a very honest work ethic, and he was very upset why he sees the shepherds are loafing in the middle of the day. So he wanted to give them tochacha. But before he gives them tochacha, so he strikes up a whole conversation. Doesn't walk over, they don't know who he is. What's going to bop them over the head? How come they're loafing in the middle of the day? So he says, Achai me'ayin atem. So they say, Mechoran anoch. And they say, Datem is loving benochar. Yes, strikes up a conversation, says, Achai, holy brother. That's how Shlomo Kabach would always be talking about, holy brother. Okay. So that's what Yaakov Avinu said, brothers. And then he says, how come you're not working? If you come over and you bop someone over the head, so they're not going to listen to the Musa. You have to first strike up a conversation and show that you're friendly with the person. And you mean the Taivasam, you want to improve their situation, that they shouldn't cheat the balabas. So they explained that they can't take off the stone from the cover of the well. They need all the shepherds together. They're not loafing on the job, they have to wait. But he wanted to give them tochacha, so you can only give tochacha if you start off with a friendly attitude. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has this, and his Sefer, the Shaloh, has also on this pasuk.
So Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Midian, they're harassing the women. He doesn't seem to strike up a friendly conversation. He seems to tell them, what are you doing? I don't know.
Maybe one works better than the other. I don't know. Good question. The Gemara has a tradition based on the Pasuk, and last week said, Vayishmar mishmati mitzvosai chukasai v'sarasai that Avraham Avinu kiyem Avraham Avinu was only in the tzavet to have a bris milah. He wasn't instructed all the other mitzvahs over and above the seven mitzvahs ben enoch, but he volunteered on his own. And the Gemara says even erevei tavshilin or the other nusach erevei trumen, he fulfilled all the mitzvahs, even the din of the rabbanim. So many assume that not only Avraham Avinu is tamei yitzchak and Yankov also. So that's the problem. How does Yankov Avinu marry two sisters? It's such an obvious, glaring issue over here. Isn't there something strange over here? So many different suggestions were given on this. The Ramban has a famous comment. Ramban feels that the main location for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. Sukkah's time, it certainly is noticeable. In Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't rain on Sukkah. It rarely rains on Sukkah. So you're supposed to sit in Sukkah every day. In Chutz Loretz in America, it always rains on Sukkahs. But the Ramban says that all of the mitzvahs, the Ikar Mokon HaShmiras Kol HaMitzvahs, is in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says in Kriya Shema, V'bartahem Me'era Me'al Horetz HaToiva, V'samtam is Dvarayela. Even when you go into Golos, you should still continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah. So Rashi quotes from the Sifrei on that Pasuk, even when you're in Chutz Loretz, you should observe Tefillin and Mezuzah, so that when we will return back to Eretz Yisrael, it won't be Chadoshim Be'einenu. So the Ramban says, what do you mean we should observe tefillin and mezuzah? Tefillin and mezuzah is a chayves, is not a mitzvah tluya bar, it's not a chayves karka, it's a chayves gavra. the mechuyevman atayret to observe in a chutz lords. So what do you mean? Should mechadoshim be'enechem? So some claim of the name of the Vilna Gaon that it's a misprint in the Sifrei, and she really say trumas and maisers, but they made a Rashi tape stuff of mem, and then when they spelled it out, so they wrote tefillin and mezuzah. Really should say trumas and maisers. Trumas and maisers men atayret is only in Eretz Yisrael, and they introduced it in the Rabbanan and Arotzas Asmuchos Eretz Yisrael, so that when we move back to Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't fit in. The Mokere Gir says the way it says by us. It doesn't fit in with the Parsha. Parsha says, then it says right afterwards, Tefillin Mezuzah. It doesn't say Trumas Amaisis. So the Pashta says, the Gir said that Rashi had, that it goes on Tefillin Mezuzah. So the Ramban writes over there and a few other places, the Ika Mokam for Shmiras Kalam Mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutz Laaretz, the Ribbono Shel Olam was tzadim in HaTorah, but it's not the Ikar Mokom. The Ikar Mokom of all the mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, after Matan Torah, so the Ribbono Shel Olam was mitzvah, so you have to observe all of the mitzvahs, all the chayvus gavra, even in Chutz Laaretz. According to Matan Torah, the Ovis only volunteered to observe the mitzvahs, the additional mitzvahs, when they'd be in Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu was in Chutz Laaretz, so he married Shteachoyes. And then as soon as he went back to Eretz Yisrael, so one of the wives passed away. So Rachel died, so he's only married to one wife. So that's a problem. So one of the wives died because he came back to Eretz Yisrael. So he should have done something. Maybe he didn't realize the Ramban. Rabbi Yaakov Avinu didn't know the Ramban. That year he only went out through the Rashi. That's problematic. So the Maharal Prague has in the Gur Aryeh a different suggestion. And Parshas Vayigash, that it only makes sense to volunteer. As in Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, it makes sense to volunteer on Mitzvah Sese. Because when you do a Mitzvah Sese, you have a Kiyam HaMitzvah. It does make sense to volunteer Aloy Sese. If you're not Muzer against Aloy Sese, that's I'm not a Kohen. A volunteer not to go to a funeral, not to be Metamei L'Meis. You don't accomplish anything by that. And let's say you're not allowed to eat Chazer. So there's certain kinds of food that taste like chazer. Or the OU used to give a hechsher on Mendel's Hamish shrimp. It was some kind of kosher fish. And they made it taste like shrimp. That's what they claim. They made it taste like shrimp. So there's nothing wrong. If it's kosher, it's kosher. What are you going to volunteer not to eat it? As an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, it doesn't make any sense. If there's no Issa. If there's no Issa, so why shouldn't you go ahead and do it? So that's what the Maharal Prague says, that the Ovis volunteered to fulfill Kol HaTorah Kula. They volunteered the Mitzvah Sese, but it doesn't make sense to volunteer to observe Mitzvah Sele Sese. So Shtei Achoyes, Achoyes Ishtei, is an Iser, it's not a Mitzvah, so there's no, it doesn't make sense to volunteer if you're not Mechuyev. That's how the Maharal Prague suggests. He also says this perhaps is the answer to Tosfos Kasha. The Gemara says on Big Day Mesim, if you dress up a mace with tachrichim that has arba kampas, has four corners, you have to put tzitzis on the Big Day Mesim, because otherwise it'll be a violation of the pasuk loig l'rosh cheiruf hayseiv. You're demonstrating that the mace is potam min ha-mitzvah, so that's a bizoyin to the mace. But nonetheless, the Gemara says that they used to put on a mason, they used to dress the mason with shatnas, because once they're dead, so they're not mechuyev to observe any mitzvahs. So how come there's a difference? Isn't there a discrepancy between the shatnas and the tzitzis? So Tosfos in Brachos has two different answers. The Ri and the Rabbi and the Tam work hard to discuss the answer to that kasha. So Maharal Prague has an answer. And the Gur Aryeh on Parshas Vayigash, so he says that Shatan says an Aveira, an Isa. So the mace is Potter. So there's no Loig L'Rosh. If he's not Muzer, he's not Muzer. But Tzitzis is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. So even if one is Potter and HaMitzvah, Mesim Chavshim, they're Potter and HaMitzvah, but it would still make sense to volunteer on behalf of the Mesim to put Tzitzis on their B'God. So that's what the Maharal Prague answers. And there's a famous answer from Rav Elbala Soloveitchik that it makes sense to volunteer not to marry Shtei Achoyes, but the din of Shtei Achoyes only applies if you're married to one of them. That's the Perik and the in Yevamos, there's a perek that begins with the word Nosem Malhu Anusa. Someone was living with a girl, but he was never mekadosh the girl. So he's permitted to marry her sister. If he was ma'anis or mafata girl, he was mezana with a single girl. So he's permitted to marry the sister. It's only also if he was married to the girl. Now, marriage, there are two types of issues. The Zishus Yisrael and Ishus B'nei Noach. How they're created is a little different. By B'nei Noach, we only have Bulas Bal Yesh Lahem, Nichnas Eluchup B'nei Niva Lo Ein Lahem. We have three forms of Kedushin, Kesav Shtar Rabia, and then we have Erisin, and then you have to wait later and make Nisun. Two parts to the Ishus, Erisin and Nisun. But they don't have three kinds, Kesav Shtar Rabia, they only have Bia. They don't have bulas ba yesh lahem lich nesilucha v'la nivala ein lahem. So the ishus is a totally different kind of an ishus. It's not the same. Ishus ben enoch and ishus Yisrael is not the same. That's what Rav Elbala suggested. Perhaps that's the pshat. Rambam is of the opinion that bichas erusin is a bichas hamitzvah. That all kol hamitzvahs kulam mevarach aleihem moed v'lasi osam. So the Rambam counts as two distinct mitzvahs in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus. One mitzvah is to be mekadosh an isha, lisha isha b'ksula v'kiddushin. Another mitzvah is lifras v'lirvas. Two different mitzvahs. So not all the Rishonim hold that it's a mitzvah to get married. Other Rishonim say there's an institution of marriage, like there's a mechira, there's a mitzvah to sell. You have to sell anything in your life. It's an institution of mechira, an institution of matana. Doesn't mean you have to do it. So marriage, who says there's a mitzvah to get married? So you can have children without getting married. You have a pilegish. The Rambam holds that it is a mitzvah. So the Rambam is of the opinion that birchas erusin is a birchas hamitzvah. And the Baalei HaTosfos seem to disagree. The Rosh in the beginning of Ksubas quotes, we have the Tosfos in the beginning of Psochem and of Zion. The sheet of Rosh often presents the maskana of the Baalei HaTosfos that birchas erusin is a birchas hashevach. It's not a birchas hamitzvah. Even they start off, Baruch HaTor Hashem, Malken Malach HaElom, Shekadoshana b'mitzvah sov. But then you go float away. You don't say v'tzivanu l'kadosh ha'soisha. Say v'tzivanu al ha'arayas. So the Rosh says, since when do you say bracha an aniser? A person is about to eat kosher food, so he says Shekadoshana b'mitzvah sov v'tzivanu shelo lechol macholas asuras. Or when a person shaves with an electric shaver, does he say bracha Shekadoshana b'mitzvah shelo galech b'tar? When you're about to do something to avoid violation of an avera, you don't recite a birchas hamitzvah. You only recite birchas hamitzvah when you're about to be mekayim an essay with the kiyum hamitzvah. So why do you say here, tzivanim al arois, vasalonis arusis, vitalonis arsuas lono? What is it all about? So the Rosh quotes from the Baalei HaTosfos that they disagree with the Rambam. They are of the opinion that birchas erusin is a birchas hashevach. But it's a little strange. It's not so Hashikadoshan b'mitzvah yisav v'tzibano. Sounds like it's the format of the Bichus HaMitzvah. So that's why Rav Elbala Soloveitchik Kehr said to defend the Rambam. Maybe Liolam is a Bichus HaMitzvah, but the Rambam writes you only recite a Bichus HaMitzvah and a mitzvah ben Adam Lamokim. Because he says Hashikadoshan b'mitzvah yisav v'tzibano. He gave the Jewish people Kedushas Yisrael. We wear tefillin, we wear tzitzis, we shake a lulav, we have a mezuzah. We have something different that the Ummah Salam don't have. Mitzvahs b'don machaveh, the Ummah Salam also do. So that's why you don't say Kedushana b'mitzvah, so obviously Bono, he singled us out. The Goyim also give tzedakah, the Goyim also are nice to each other. So we don't say a birchas hamitzvah on a mitzvah that we share on an institution, on a practice that's common by the non-Jews. Tzitzis and tefillin, a lulav and shofar doesn't exist by the Goyim. So the question is, but marriage also exists by the Goyim. So why do we say Birchas HaMitzvah? The answer is because Yishus Yisrael is not the same as Yishus Ben Enoch. So we mentioned in the Nusach HaBracha, we really mean to say Shekadoshan B'Sasvan L'Kadesh HaSo Isha. But we want to emphasize the fact that Kiddusha Yisrael, Yishus Yisrael, is not the same as Yishus Ben Enoch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a totally different type of issues. So we say V'Tzivanu Al HaArayas. There are certain Arayas, Achos Ishtoi, and Chosanto, and Kalosai, Chamoso, there are certain Isurim Arayas that depend on marriage, that by B'dinech they don't have this Issa because they have a different type of marriage. They don't have type of a marriage. So Kodimat and Torah, fine. It would make sense to volunteer even Mitzvah Loisase perhaps, but this Mitzvah Loisase of Achis Ishta doesn't make sense because the Ishus B'nei Noach doesn't carry with it that din of Achus Ishtai. Only Ishus Yisrael, they didn't have Ishus Yisrael until left the Matan Torah.
But can you also make the bracha just showing me different ways that you can get married? You also mentioned how the way to get married is different. So why Dafka we have to mention the Lotase aspect of the Arayos that we have different
ways? I don't know. Good question. Why not mention other aspects? I don't know. That's a good question. So that's famous from Abdabala Soloveitch. That why didn't Yaakov Avinu volunteer to observe the Isra of Achos Ishtai? So he said because even if he had volunteered, it wouldn't mean anything because he didn't have an issue he saw with his wife. It's usually assumed that this is usually assumed not like this. Usually assumed like Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes that we have a concept of Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. The Gemara has it in rare cases, Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. It's not Eser Decheloi Sesei. Sometimes we say it pays off. There's some people who say Chatei Bishvil Shetiske, Robin Hood will steal from the rich and give to the poor. So sometimes we recommend that. Sometimes if the rich are not taking care of the poor, they're not taking care of tzedakah, so sometimes we would say, we would be koifah la tzedakah. The Bezdin would authorize Robin Hood to be the Shliach Bezdin to steal from the rich and give to the poor. And sometimes people have the attitude they're going to cheat from the government and they're going to make a yeshiva and the yeshiva is going to be supported by the government. So the legitimate poskim hold that you don't apply Chatei Bishvil Shetiske in such a situation. If you can't support the yeshiva from legitimate funds, so you don't found the yeshiva, you don't do such a thing. Each case you have to judge whether the ends really justifies the means. Every legal system has a principle. The ends sometimes justify the means. Depends which are the ends and which are the means. If a woman is having a baby at 3:00 in the morning and the husband has to drive her to the hospital, we would say the ends justify the means. He's allowed to go through the red light. And the police will encourage him and they'll call ahead that the police down the highway should let him go through the red light. They should give him a hard time because his wife is having a baby. It just depends what are the ends and what are the means. So every legal system, we have pikuach nefesh is decha kolot arkula. The ends justify the means. Pikuach nefesh is decha. To found the yeshiva with money stolen from the government, that those ends do not justify those means. It all depends which case. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner has this attack against the Hasidim. The Hasidim would wake up on Shabbos morning and they'd go to mikveh, then they'd be mavis sedra with their children, then they'd learn a little chazer gemara with the children, and then after doing hachon a couple of hours, putting themselves into a holy mood, then they'll begin to daven shacharis at 11:30 in the morning. He missed man kriyashma, missed his man tefila. Same thing leila seder. They'll make hachonis, and they'll eat the matzah after chatzos because they're singing everything slowly. So they said chatei b'shul shetiske. We do averis, but we gain by it. We're in such a holy mood, in such a holy atmosphere. All the mitzvahs that they do have a higher level of kavana. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, "What do you mean?" He said, "Chatei b'shul shetiske was only kodem matan Torah," and he said that Yaakov Avinu, they all knew. Rashi and Chumash quotes that they most knew Beruach HaKodesh that they're going to be 12 shvatim. So that's why when Leah was pregnant with her seventh child, she prayed to Rabbeinu Shalom that it should be a girl, it shouldn't be a boy, because if she's going to have seven out of the shvatim, and Rachel only had Yosef, so she's going to be less than the shvacha. It's going to be less than Bilhah and Zilpah. Bilhah and Zilpah each had two of the shvatim, and Rachel will only have one. So that'll be bizyonis for her sister. That's what Rashi quotes that the Ovis and the Imos, they all know they're going to be Yud Bei Shvatim. So that's what the Pashtus over here is. Enach and Ami, Kodematan Torah, the proper thing is that they should volunteer to observe, perhaps even the Lois Sesei. But this was Chatei B'shul Shetiske, Kodematan Torah. So Abchaim Volozhiner writes, he wants to attack the Hasidim. He never says Hasidim, but he says he heard that there were such people that they make Achanas in the morning. That's what he's referring to, the Hasidim. So he says, Chatei B'shul Shetiske was only Kodem Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, it never applies. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner had one of his Talmidim who wrote Birchas Osher, a sefer on Nazir and a sefer on Brachas. We used a little bit last year when we learned Brachas. So he also wrote a sefer, Keser Rosh. Rosh was his name, Rabosha. Keser Rosh, he writes like this, a sefer Maisa Rab, Hazola Hanogas of the Vilna Goin. So the Keser Rosh, he records all of the Hanogas of Rab Chaim Balozhina, a lot of unusual Hanogas. So he writes that what Rab Chaim Balozhina wrote in his sefer, that Chateva Shil Shatiska was only called in Matan Torah, that was an exaggeration. He just wanted to write his attack against the Hasidim. But it's really not true. In the Gemara, you have Chateva Shil Shatiska in rare cases, Lacha Matan Torah also. So the Pasha is over here that this was a Chateva Shil Shatiska because they have Ruach HaKodesh, and I knew this is the way it's going to be.
Didn't think they would get to
12
without Rachel. What was the
Chateh Shvil Shatiska? Somehow we knew that these sisters, he has to marry both sisters. The Chasam Sefer has a famous comment on this. How come Yankiv married Shtei Achoyos? So he says he worked for 7 years and he kept on dating Rachel and he promised that he's going to marry her. And then he got stuck, he fell and he married Leah. So he's going to back out, he's going to volunteer, and Midas Chassidus, a din that wasn't yet given till Matan Torah, that you should marry two sisters. But he promised the girl, he got engaged to the girl 7 years ago, he promised her that he's going to marry her. So he says, you don't volunteer to observe a Midas Chassidus if it's against an act of decency. He's been dating the girl for 7 years, of course he has to marry the girl. That's what Chassam Sofer writes also, according to the Medrash and the Gemara, Yosef HaTzadik got out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. So the Rishonim is Kanchumish, he got out on Rosh Hashanah. It says, Vaykalach Vaychalev Simloisov. He shaved on Rosh Hashanah. Why didn't he volunteer Kodem Matan Torah to observe Rosh Hashanah not to shave? So the Chassam Sofer has in the Drushas on the Chumash, he says, Kovid Malchus is, he was in prison the whole time. And they didn't let him take a shower, they didn't let him shave. He looked awful. And he was wearing prisoner's clothing to visit the melech, so he had to dress up nicely. So he had to take a shower, he had to take a bath. He was probably smelling, probably didn't take a bath for all year in prison. He had to shave to look decent. It's Rosh Hashanah. There was no Kodem Matan Torah, there was no Chiyuv to observe Rosh Hashanah. It was an Einem Mitzvah V'Yoseh, it's Amidas Chassidus. So you don't observe Amidas Chassidus when it's in conflict with the real din of Kvod HaMalchus.
Why don't we just say it's Pikuach Nefesh? Paro would have killed him if he came smelly with long hair.
Could well be. Could be. It would have been Pikuach Nefesh. But this is his suggestion. He thought maybe there was... They knew that they were bringing Paro a prisoner, so maybe Paro would not have gotten upset. He knew there's a guy from prison who knows how to interpret dreams. But he felt out of Kavod HaMalchus. Could be that it was an issue of Pikuach Nefesh.
I mean, this idea of Chet Bishvil Shatiska, we say that maybe he's also why Yaakov, he was able to sort of pretend he was Esav to get the bracha, like that's the same. He knew that one of them was going to get the bracha, so...
The mother told him Baruch HaKodesh. Mother told him Baruch HaKodesh. Alay ki lelos chabni. So the Targum Mokon says, Alay tamra benevua. I was told benevua that you have to do this, that you have to go through and fool the father. That's what it says in the Targum Uklis, yeah. The Gemara has a din of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Gemara says you're not allowed to get married on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. Not allowed to get married on Shabbos, that's only a din derabban, Gzerishem Be'Yichtov. There is no Chiyuv Simcha on Shabbos, but on Yontif and Chol HaMoed there's a Chiyuv Simcha, so then there's a real din deraisa. That's an Issa deraisa. To get married on Shabbos is only an Issa derabbanan. To get married a yontiv and chalamoid is an Issa deraisa. So the Yerushalmi learns it after this pasuk. Malish vozois benit lucho gamazois. Now it's shivus himan mishta for Leia. After the shivus himan mishta Rab, then we'll make another shivus himan mishta for Rachel. So that's a question. Can you learn after this pasuk? It's kodem matan Torah. A whole discussion. When do you say ein lemeidim kodem matan Torah? When do you say it isn't legitimate? So the Yerushalmi has this as the mocker. Psukim give all the names, interesting names that that they gave to the babies. Yisochar is a question how you pronounce it. So there's some who pronounce it always Yisoschar. The Tushin say pronounce it Yisoschar. We usually always pronounce it Yisochar. And there's a Rashi in Devar Yomim, I think, but Rashi says that the pronunciation is a Kriyak Siv. It's written with two shins, and you pronounce it as if it's only one sin. So that's Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has in his Ha'oris on the Tur Aben Ezer. We assume whenever there's a Kriyak Siv on someone's name, when you write a Ksuba, you write a Ged, you write it according to the Kri. You don't write it according to the Ksiv. So if someone at the Chassan's name is Yisachar, she really only write it with one shin. She didn't write it with two shins. Some of the Chassidish Rebbes only write it with one shin. When they sign their name, they only write one shin. The Bnei Yisoschar used to pronounce it with two shins. So that's why everybody calls it Sefer Bnei Yisoschar, because he always pronounced it with two shins. The Torah Shlema quotes the different practices, and then there was a practice. Rav Soloveitchik said that in Valoshin they had this. Very strange. That they pronounced it Yisoschar until I think you get to Parshas Pinchas. Because in Pinchas, it says that Yisachar had a son whose name was Yoshuv. Early on the Chumash, it says he had a son whose name was Yov. So it's a contradiction. Was his name Yov or was his name Yoshuv? So the Medrash says he gave the baby a name Yov for a few years, and then he heard that Yov is the name of an Avodah Zarah. So he decided, what, I give my son a name that's the name of Avodah Zarah. So he added a shin to his name. So he took away a shin from his own name. His name was Yisoschar. All along his name was Yisoschar, until Parshas Pinchas, when he took away one shin from his own name and he gave it to his son. So many have such a practice that they lay Yisoschar until, or they lay twice. Yisachar, Yisoschar, they say twice, up until Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas on, the only name, they only pronounce it Yisachar. Very, unique minute, but Torah Shlaima quotes it. Rav Soloveitchik, I think, said that was the minig in Valoshin.
Rashi on Divrei Yomim wasn't
written
by
Rashi.
It's not written by Rashi.
Oh, it's not written by Rashi. Okay, correct. Nachon. Nachon. That is correct. Rachel is complaining to her husband, Havali Banabi Mayan Mesa Anoichi. What kind of a lotion is that? Because the Gemara has a lotion, Mishain Labanim is Choshev Kemes. Why is that Mishain Labanim is Choshev Kemes? So there used to be a philosopher in Eretz Yisrael, I forgot his name already, Apikoros. He didn't, very Chiloni, Gansel Chiloni. So he used to be complaining. He used to quote him in the New York Times. He used to quote him in Time Magazine, as if he's a big thinker. He always changed his philosophy every couple of months. He changed everything. What kind of philosopher is that? So he was once complaining, why the Jewish people always talk about Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, the Rambam, Rabbi Natan, and Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, always living in the past. Are living in the future. They're always talking about the Melech HaMashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, I want to live in the present. Forget about the past. Forget about the future. So that's usually how Rishoyim, Achashuvim, Tzadikim, Misasim, Kruim, Chaim, Rishoyim, B'chayim, Akruim, Esim. Why? Because how long does a person live? The oldest person that we know, 110 years, every so often, the newspaper writes, someone died at the age of 115 or something like that. How long do you live? So if you really want to have an arichas yom, you want to live, so you should identify with your ancestors, you should live in the past, and live in the future, and live in the present also. Rav Soloveitchik said, has it in some of his published essays, there was a jingle, that was composed by one of the philosophers in the Middle Ages. I think he died Panini. That he said, "Ha'over ayin, the past is gone. Ha'osir adayin, it's not her yet. Ha'over kerafayin, the present is only half a moment. So therefore, dog and minayin, why should you be worried about anything? There's nothing to worry about. The present is so brief." So he said, "This attitude, ha'over ayin, ha'osir adayin, this is not the Jewish attitude." Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that line. He said, we Jews, we live in the past, we live in the future. So we live longer, we live thousands of years. We identify with Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov. We identify with Rabbi Akiva and Ablaz Marat. We identify with the Rambam, the Rabbi Natan. We live in the future also. We talk about the Melech HaMashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi also. So that's what the Chazal have in common. Mishein Labanim can only live in the past, and the present can't live in the future, because you're not going to extend your life into the future. So Mishein Labanim is Choshev Kemeis. It's a Kitzah Yomim. They're not going to be living so long. Rishoyim B'chayim Kurim Esim. They only want to live in the Hova. They don't want to live in the past. They don't want to live in the future. So they're only living for a minute. So that's why the Chazal have such a Lashon. Rishoyim B'chayim Kurim Esim. The Rambam in Hilchas Chiras writes the din that a poel is mukhiyev lavad b'chol koicha. We mentioned it before. And he quotes the pasuk that Yaakov Avinu said, "Aten yedaten ke b'chol koichi avarti as avichem." You have to put in your full effort and energy. He got it from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia doesn't say it about a poel. The Gemara says it about Hashem Esoch as opposed to Hashem Achinam. Gemara says, Hashem Achinam, if he's not the Kedanatri Inshi, is good enough. Let's say, in the summertime, when it's hot, so you don't always have the air conditioner on. A lot of times you just open the windows and you have a breeze in the house. You don't have to spend money on the electricity to have the air conditioner on. So let's say you go down, you live in an apartment building. You go downstairs for 10 minutes to pick up the mail and talk to the mail deliverer, mail carrier, and you talk to the neighbors, then you go back upstairs. So you don't lock all the windows. Sometimes you don't even lock your door. You leave the house for a few minutes. You don't always lock the door. So let's say I ask Hashem Achinam to watch my house while I'm gone. So in the summertime he does exactly what I would do. He goes down to pick up the mail and he schmoozes a little bit, comes back up, he finds that they cleaned out the whole house. They robbed everything. So he's not chayv mitam posheya. It's not a pshe because he was not the kidanatri inchi. He watched the pikotin, the whole house and all the property, to the same extent that the balabas himself would have watched. Not the kidanatri inchi is enough by Hashem Achinam. He's a, what the Gemara has a loshen, Rab Chaim uses that loshen for the Gemara. The Hashem Achinam is a gavra bechari koi. He's a person in my stead. Only has to watch to the same extent that the balam would watch. But Hashem Esochar is not going to be putter if he says not the kidanatri inchi. Hashem Esoch, that's considered Pshia. Hashem Esoch has to watch more than the Balabos. So the Gemara says that, based on this pasuk, Aten yedaten ke b'chol kochi avadati es avichem, because Yaakov Avinu was being paid a salary to take care of love and sheep. So he had the din of Hashem Esoch on all of the sheep, not the din of Hashem Achinam. So the truth of the matter, it's not a kasha. How come the Rambam quotes the pasuk? Aten yedaten. The Rambam quotes the pasuk to demonstrate that a poel has to work b'chol kochi. The Gemara didn't say it by poel. The Gemara says it by Hashem Esochar. The answer is it's not a kasha. The whole difference between the Hashem Achinam and the Hashem Esochar is that the Hashem Esochar is a poel. He's paid a salary. Hashem Achinam is only a Hashem Agavra b'charikot. So if he watches not to get an entry, it seems enough. Hashem Esochar, because he's being salaried, so therefore he has a din of a poel, and a poel is mechuyev labed b'chol kochi. That's exactly the difference between the two. There is a Gemara in the first Perek in Kedushin around Daf Yud Gimel where the Rashba quotes a Ravid, as a Chocher from the Gemara there, that let's say a person is a Shomer Hashem Achinam. A person is a Shomer Anit Pikodin, and then he wants to quit in the middle. So usually we have a klal that a poel chozer b'afil b'emtzayim. A poel has a right to quit in the middle of the job and say, I don't want to continue doing it anymore. Unless it's going to cause a hepsit to the balabas. Let's say a Rebbe in Yeshiva is going to quit in the middle of the day. So I'm not allowed to quit. How's the Minal going to find another Rebbe on the same day? So he has to give him a month or two advance notice if that's enough. Maybe in the middle of the year, a month or two is not even enough. You have to give enough notice. Or let's say, I agreed to do the work on the farm. If the work is not done today, they expect a storm tomorrow and everything's going to get ruined. So b'mokem p'seidi, you're not allowed to quit in the middle of the day. Whenever there's no hefset for the balabas, then the din is you can quit in the middle of the day. So the Ravid, quoted by the Rashba, in Kiddushan around Daf Yod Gimel has arrived from the Gemara, and it's quoted in the Chosh Mishpat. This is Simen in Chosh Mishpat. It only has one sif in Hilchos Shomrim. So it has this din that a person who's a Shomer cannot quit in the middle of the job. Only Poel Chosaba Filibam Sayom, based on the Pasik, Kiliben Esau Lavodim Leavodim Lavodim. That's why you learn out from the Pasik, if you can't quit in the middle of the job, that's like you when you agree to, every Jew will have to be self-employed. Whenever you're going to agree to work for someone else, you can't quit in the middle of the job. But you're like an Evet, you're stuck. So, Kaliban Esau Lavodim Lavodim, and now an Evet. So it must be that you have a right to quit in the middle of the job. So on the side of the Chosh Mishpat, I think Rabbi Kivega tells you, look in the Machne Ephraim. Machne Ephraim says, what if the fellow's a Shem HaSachar? So the difference between a Shem HaChinim and a Shem HaSachar is Chayv and Gnei Vavei, the Shem HaChinim is only Chayv and Pshia. And the Shem HaChinim, that's not called Pshia, if it's not a Kedinatri Inshi. But the Shem HaSachar, if it's not a Kedinatri Inshi, he is Chayv, it is called Pshia. So the whole difference between the Shem HaChinim and the Shem HaSachar, why is Shem HaSachar chayv more? Because the Shem HaSachar is salaried and he has a din of a poil by the job. So that's why the Machne Ephraim says if someone is a Shem HaSachar, wants to quit in the middle of the job, we wouldn't let him quit lachalutin, but he can quit being a Shem HaSachar to lower his level to Shem HaChinim. He says, from now on, I don't want to get paid a salary. I don't want to watch so seriously. I just want to watch Kedin Natri Inshi. So that would be acceptable. That's what the Machne Ephraim says. Rabbi Kivega quotes it on this, on the Gilyan Rabbi Kivega on the Shulchan Aruch Hashem Mishpat. Because the whole difference of a Shem HaSachar or a Shem HaChinam is that he is a poil. He's being salaried to do the work. So the poil has the right to quit in the middle of the job, to go down to the level of a Shem HaChinam. Because that's a Ein Dinu Kepoil. That's an important pasuk. Aten Yedaten Kebechol Kochi Avartim Esavichem. People have a job, they have to do the work on a job. You look around, there's so many secretaries, they're always coffee breaks, always talking on the phone with their friends, not doing any of the work. Then they have to get the time and a half overtime because they didn't do the work. They had more than enough time to do all the work. It's terrible. The Zeruah is one of the later Bali HaTosis. The Maharam Rutmerg was the Talmud of the Zeruah. The end of the Tkufa of the Bali HaTosis. So the Ozaro has a comment on the Pasuk. When Lavan is upset, why Yaakov Avinu snuck away? Why did he leave him? So he said, if you would have told us that you're about to leave back, we would have made a farewell party for you. You're leaving. Vashalechucha b'simcha b'tofa b'kinar. Would have made a whole Seischem L'Sholem. So the Ozaru says, you see from this Pasuk, that that's the right thing to do, to have Malava Malka. To bid farewell to someone whom you love, if you enjoy the Shabbos, so you should have a Malava Malka, to bid farewell to the Shabbos HaMalka. Even Lavan knew that that's the right thing to do. You have a Seischem L'Sholem when someone whom you love is leaving. At the end of the parsha, you have that Yaakov Avinu with Lavan are agreeing to live in peaceful coexistence. So he says, you shouldn't cross over to harm me, I'm not going to cross over to harm you. And he swears, Elokei Avraham Velohei Nochor. So they have printed on the side of the Tanakh, this one doesn't have it printed, but another Chumashma has, and the word Elohei Nochor, that it's Chol. When the Sefer writes the Sefer Torah, when he writes Elokei Avraham, he has to have in mind to be Mekadosh Elokei Avraham. But Elohei Nochor, that's an Avodah Zarah. He didn't worship the invisible God in heaven above, he worshipped the Trophim, he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the Sefer should not have in mind to be Mekadosh. The Gemara in the end of Masech HaShavuos talks about different psukim that are questionable. Like in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when the three Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu after the Bris Milah, the Shmini LeMilosai. So Avraham Avinu says, Alav Dalin Nun Yod, Mnom Mitzazachem Yenecha, Anas Avraham Yalav Decha. So that's a Machloikas Hatanaim. What does that mean? It means Hashem. Alav Dalin Nun is Kodesh, Hashem. Please wait for me, I have to be Mekabel Panim, the Orchim, and then I'm going to come back to talk to you. Or was he talking to the Shloisha Anoshim? Adonai, my guests. Anasaba me'alavdecha. Was he talking to the guest? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. That's a shayla halacha. When you write the Sefer Torah, how are you supposed to paskin? The sefer is supposed to have in mind to be mekadosh alav dalanun yoda, but dafka not to be mekadosh. Is it supposed to be chol? That's a serious machlokes hatanaim. I think the Rambam points out in the Mor Nebuchim that there's one place in Sefer Shoftim by Pesal Micha where it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it means Avodah Zar. Al Dal Nun Yud and Elohim Acherim. You don't say Elohim, you say Elohim Acherim. It's Chol. Or Ad Elohim Yavad Vashneim Ashi Ashi and Elohim Mishalim Shneim Lareyev. That's Chol. It means a Dayan Mumche, doesn't it? That's not Kodesh. Over there is also chol. It's not kodesh. So there's even one place where yud kei vav kei is a loshon avodah zarah. So you should not have a mind to be mekadoshet. When you're writing about avodah zarah, you should not be mekadoshet. The haftorah of parshas vayetze ends off with the pasuk ki yisharim dachei Hashem tzadikim yolchuvam ufoshim yikoshluvam. So the Gemara in Nazir has a famous mashal. Mashal l'shnei ben yodam, they both ate the Korban Pesach. So one of them didn't eat so much on Erev Pesach, and he ate the Korban Pesach the teyavon, the way it's supposed to be. Not supposed to eat too much on Erev Pesach. And the other one ate a whole day, he was gnashing and nibbling a whole day long. He eats the Korban Pesach. It's really achila gasa. So that's all of our kasevaymek yisharim dachi Hashem tzadikim yochavam afoshim yikoshluvam. The one who ate an achila gasa is not yoytze. So the Gemara says, why do you call him foshim? Just because he didn't fulfill the mitzvah the more correct way, he's not called a posheya. So the Gemara says, okay, it doesn't refer to such a case. But later in Bava Kamma, there's going to be a discussion about the niskal posheya. On this kal oinusu, so Tosin says if the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, it's in Bava Metzia also machlokes hatanaim. This kal means if the road is clear, if yisharim darchei Hashem, if you have a road where there are obstacles there and a person trips on the obstacle, that's not posheya, that's oinus. It's not his fault. If the road is smooth and he trips on his own feet, that's a machlokes hatanaim. If there's nothing there. So that's what the pasuk says. So poshim b'koshlovam. If the derech is yishar, ki yisharim darchei Hashem. If the derech is a derech yishara, and the person trips, what's he tripping? He's tripping on his own feet. Then the pasuk says he's a posheya. This pasuk is famous in Jewish history. The Netiv Yehuda has a short tshuva where he's not happy with the practice of saying hinei mucharim zom lekayim mitzvahs lulav. Years ago in Europe, it wasn't possible that every person should buy his own lulav. It was so expensive. So to the rabbi, the shul bought one lulav for the rabbi, and the rabbi would be mocked in the lulav to each one of the balabatim, matanam anas lahachzer. So the Nadi Yehuda had his lulav, and someone came, he wanted to get a matanam anas lahachzer, so he gave it to him. And then he started mumbling, hinei mucharim zom lekayim mitzvahs lulav, v'shem bichu kodesh b'richu. So the Nadi Yehuda said, give me back my lulav. He doesn't give to chassidim. He was opposed to the Hasidic movement. He was a cousin of the Baal Shem Tov. For a while they lived in the same village, but he was not happy with the whole movement of Hasidus. So he has the tshuva where he writes a brief paragraph where he writes that it's keneged adin to say hinei mucharim zuman. We assume stoma is lushman. If you're making a declaration hinei mucharim zuman, you're assuming stoma is not lushman. It's against the Allah, you're assuming against the Gemara. Stoma is lushman. So and he paraphrases the pasuk. He says, "Ki yisharim darchei Hashem, tzadikim yochavam, v'chassidim yikoshluvam." That's how we ended off his tshuva. V'chassidim yikoshluvam. So the printer, who was setting the type, didn't want to print it like that. So he changed it and he wrote v'foshim yikoshluvam. He wrote the pasuk the way it says. He didn't write v'chassidim yikoshluvam. So the Nadi Yehuda complained to him. He said, "Look what you did. I took poshim, I converted them into chassidim. You took chassidim, you converted them into poshim." But there was a pretty nasty line. He was really opposed to the movement when it first came out. Even though he liked the Baal Shem Tov very much, they lived in the same village. They worked together sometimes. There was a case, there's a long tshuva in the Rebbe Yehuda, Madura Kama Chelek Eben Ezer. There's a story about a man from their village, when they both lived in this little village in Yampala, I think it's called. So a man was married and his wife had an affair with someone else, and there was insufficient evidence to declare that she's really a Saita Asura Labailo. So the husband of the woman was a little bit learned. So he paskened on his own, he didn't ask the shah, paskened on his own that he's allowed to continue living with his wife. She doesn't have the din of a Saita, and he had, I think, six different explanations why she's not a Saita Asura Labailo. So the Nadi Yehuda has a long tshuva, and he divides it, stiris at the aleph, stiris at the base, stiris at the gimel. He rips apart the heter aleph, the husband had the base. The husband, I think, had six svaras, why to be mekel, and then he concludes, Isha's asur al baila, and he sends the tshuva to the Becha David. The Becha David was a Sephardish rabbi in Constantinople. You would get the mistaken impression as if the shaila came from Constantinople. It was in Nadi Behuda's backyard, had nothing to do with the Becha David in Constantinople. But the husband of the woman was a Korev Lamalchus. He was buddy-buddy with the governor of the region, and he had the governor pass a law that anybody who says his wife is a Zayna, they'll put him in prison. So Nadi Behuda couldn't say anything. So he wrote a tshuva to the Becha David to get his haskama. The Baal Shem Tov was also involved at that time. Baal Shem Tov wasn't the rabbi of the village. So he got up in public, that's how they write in the storybooks, he got up in public and said, he's not going to say that Mrs. So-and-so is a Zayna, because whoever says she's a Zayna will sit in jail, so I can't say she's a Zayna. I kept on saying 10 times, and then he skipped out, then he disappeared. He could leave. But Nadi Behuda was the rabbi, he couldn't leave, he had to stay there till he moved to the big city, till he was invited to become the rabbi in Prague. So he wrote that whole tshuva. That tshuva is a famous tshuva. That they didn't have normal mail delivery like we have today. So he couldn't just put a stamp and have them deliver from Poland to Constantinople. So that letter was carried together with the letter that Baal Shem Tov wrote after Rosh Hashanah. He had an Aliyas Neshama. His soul went up to heaven, and he met the Melech HaMashiach, and he asked him, Masa Yashi Mar, when are you coming already? So he said, Kshayafutza Mayna Secha Chutza, when you will teach Hasidus to the public, when you will popularize Hasidus. So that's what the Lubavitch have a whole niggun. Masai, 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 Masai Yashi Mar, Kshayafutza Mayna Secha Chutza. That's the letter that the Baal Shem Tov wrote to his brother-in-law, Begershin Kitever, already lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the story goes, that's Rav Soloveitchik told over, it's in the storybooks, that these two letters were taken together, the letter that the Baal Shem Tov wrote to his brother-in-law, the letter that the Nadi Behuda wrote to the Becha David, the Rav in Constantinople. So whoever wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael would travel to Constantinople, then take a boat and go to Eretz Yisrael. So the one letter was delivered in Constantinople, the other letter was delivered when they went to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik told the story, that on one occasion the Rabbanim had a meeting, the Rabbanim in Poland had a meeting, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik attended, and Rabbi Zal Slonimer was there also. Rabbi Zal Charif, they called him, Rabbi Zal Slonimer. He was a Rabbi in Slonim. So Rabbi Zal Charif said, before they got to talk about the politics, to the first talking and learning, Rabbi Zal Charif said, when he goes to the Olam HaEmes, he's going to sue the Nadi Behuda for fortune and money that he read in the tshuva's Nadi Behuda, this tshuva, a long famous tshuva, stiris had the aleph, stiris had the base, and he sends the tshuva to the Becha David. So you get the impression Becha David was someone who's Nadi Behuda's kafuf to him, and he writes titles chol rabba goyin amafusim, the great poysik and everything. Bala Machaber, he wrote the sefer Divrei Emes. He wrote the tshuva sefer Divrei Emes. So he saved up. Rabbi Zal Charif said he saved up a lot of money. And then he bought the sefer, it cost him a fortune of money. And it's nothing there. It's not worth the $5 that he paid. It's a Sephardish style sefer. They used to write shuvas years ago. They just collected all the Marmakimus and Nigamar, right? Like an encyclopedic article. But he didn't need the encyclopedic information. There's no shuvah. He just collected all the Marmakimus on each topic. A lot of the old tshuvas by the Sfardim used to be like that. They just collected all the Gemaras and put it all together. So Rav Chaim asked the Basel Charef, what's the din? Do you apply the din of Eidecha Nem Visurim to women? So he said, of course it applies to women. I go home, my wife gives me supper, and I assume that when you're single, you rely on your mother, your sister, they give you food. Of course you rely on Eidecha Nem Visurim. So Rav Chaim said, the Sefer is worth it just for that. He has a whole essay, the Becha David, where he, in the Divrei Yemes, Shalosh Divrei Yemes, he quotes that a whole big group of Rishonim, a minority group, but a whole group of Rishonim are of the opinion Eidecha Nem Visurim doesn't apply to women. The only reason why you can rely on your wife or your mother is because you know she's a religious woman. And Chazal Kal Chavetz, a Ruba Dalesa Kaman, she wouldn't give you non-kosher food. Chazal Kal Chavetz, she might have been Tachas Yadu Dabash Eni Mesukan. The Gemara says in Psochem on Daf Tes, Chavetz Ameis, at the end of the period of the Baisheni, so they came up with this new institution of a Chavir and Am Ha'aretz. So the Am Ha'aretz were those who were not so careful on Kashrus, of Trumas and Maisrus, and the Chaverim, but those who were Mekabel Dibre Chaverim, those who were medaktik on everything. So, the Gemara says, if a religious man dies, and he has a house full of food, even if they just brought the food into his house today, they took it in from the farm, and they brought it into the barn inside the house today, and the fellow died the same day, we assume, even if it's Bnei Yom, we assume he was certainly mafresh Trumas and Maisrus, because Chazak al Chaver, he wouldn't leave non-kosher food around the house, because he wouldn't want the children to eat it by mistake. So if you know who the woman is, you know your wife, and you know your mother, you know she's a very observant person, so then it's not based on Eidech and Nem Yisum, it's rather based on the assumption, Chazak al Chavish, that he wouldn't leave non-kosher food, it wouldn't be machshal nirinis. But if I come to town, there's a woman has a restaurant and she's selling me stuff. I don't know who she is. She covers her hair. Okay. I don't know how religious she is. Maybe she doesn't keep kosher. So then if it would be a man, you would say Eidech Nem Yisur. But if it's a woman, a whole group of Rishonim hold, you don't say Eidech Nem Yisur. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik thought that that whole sefer by the Becha David was worth it just for that siman alone. In the middle of the Haftarah, you have the famous line, Shuvi Yisroel Hashem Elokecha, Ki Chashalta B'Avoyneicha. Kadosh Baruch Hu calls upon the Jewish people, the Navi calls upon the Jewish people, we should all do tshuva. Ki Chashalta B'Avoyneicha, if you'll do, Oven is usually the mezid. Chashalta means B'Shoigek, means if a person does tshuva, the averis that he did the mezid will be considered as if he only did it B'Shoigek. So he won't be punished for it. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma, it depends how great the tshuva does he do. If he only does tshuva meyira because he's afraid he's going to be punished, then zdonis anasim lo kishgogas. The averis that he did the mezid will be considered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachmanis on us, he'll consider it kichoshalta b'avinach, as if he only did it b'shoyim. If he's really going to do tshuva meyavo, said not only his donus will not be considered like zdonis, zdonis anasim lo kizuchuyas. Averis that he did the mezid will be considered as if he did mitzvahs. Because he's always going to have such a guilty conscience, going to have such a guilty feeling. Whenever he'll remind himself of the fact that he did averis ben mezid, he's always going to have a heroic tshuva for the rest of his life. What did I do? Says, don't ask Nasan Lok his chuyas, because that'll encourage him, his remembering the fact that he did averis ben mezid, will encourage him to be a medaktik and mitzvah. So that's the Gemara's comment on the pasuk. Chashalta b'avanecha, it's a contradiction. Chashalta means b'shoigek, b'avanecha means oven, means that it's been mazed. So see, oven v'apesha b'chatoa v'nakeh, chatoa chet means b'shoigek, oven means been mazed, and pesha means b'merit, l'hachis. Then the pasuk the next pasuk ends off, and the Shalma forms v'aseinu, even b'zman she'en beis hamikdash kayam. We don't have an opportunity to bring any karbanas, but when we read the parshas HaKarbanas, it's considered as if on the Shalma Forum Svaseinu, by our lip service, by reciting the parshas HaKarbanas, it's considered Malani Aleihem, Kiilu, they brought the karbanas. That's a big machlokes, is that this Haftocha that the Novi says in the Shalma Forum Svaseinu, Does it only apply to Karbonis and to Beis HaMikdash? We have a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. So they also, the Midrashim say, if you live in a generation where you just can't rebuild a Beis HaMikdash, the Arabs will they'll start a whole world war if we start building a Beis HaMikdash there. So if you don't have the ability to build a Beis HaMikdash, the Midrashim say, also in the Shalom HaFarim Sassana, we should read the whole Perek and the Prokim and Yecheskel that describe what the Beis HaShlishi, what the dimensions will be, what it's going to be all about. So it'll be considered as if we fulfilled to the best of our abilities, as if we fulfilled the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. What about other mitzvahs? Is it only restricted to Karbonis and Beis HaMikdash, or does it apply to all mitzvahs? Let's say a person is sick in bed and he can't go to shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So maybe he should learn Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, and it'll be considered as if he did. Or that there used to be Jews in Russia where they couldn't eat matzah. The Russian, the communists, wouldn't let them keep any mitzvahs. For many, many years it was like that. So would they gain anything by reading Hilchos Leil Pesach? They'll learn Hilchos Matzah, so it'll be considered as if they ate matzah. So the Mabit and the Sefer, Beis HaLakim, thinks that it applies to any and every mitzvah. Any mitzvah you're not able to fulfill because of the oinous conditions is covered with this pasuk in the Shalom HaFarim Sosena. And the Chafetz Chaim has a long essay in the Hakdomah to his Asifa Zikenim. He published a collection of Achreinim on Seder Kotchim. He encouraged everybody to learn Kotchim because Mashiach is going to come soon. The Kohanim was a Kohen. Kohanim have to know how to be makir with the Korbanos. So he has a whole arichas. He quotes a Rashi and Bava Metzia and other Rishonim say the favor. It's not like the Beis HaLakim, not like the Mabit. That this pasuk only goes on the mitzvah of building Beis HaMikdash and the mitzvah of bringing Korbanos. The Shama form so saying. The Gemara, the end of Megillah, the last Amid Beis in Gemara Megillah. So Gemara interprets the psukim by the Brisbane Absorim that Hakadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu he's going to give merit to Israel. He says Bama Eda Ki Yiroshenu. So one interpretation is that he was questioning the Rabban Shalom, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? So the Rabban Shalom punished him. And he said Yodaya Teda. Avraham Avinu says Bama Eda Yodaya Teda Ki Ger Yizaracha. You question whether I'm going to keep my promise. He's going to cause the descendants of Avraham Avinu to suffer in Golus, Arba Mea Shana. The whole Golus Mitzrayim was a punishment for the fact that Avraham Avinu questioned God. That's one opinion in the Medrash. Then the Gemara has a different interpretation. When Avraham Avinu said, Bama Eda, he didn't mean, how do I know you're going to keep your word? He was asking, what special mitzvah should I do that I should be entitled to hold on to Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kol Le'eglim Mishuleshes, etc. Meschus HaKrovas HaKarbonis. So then Avraham Avinu says, Tenach Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Kaim, Bizman there's no Beis HaMikdash, what's going to be? So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, your descendants should recite the Parshas HaKarbonis, Amala Ani Aleihem, Keilu Hikribim. So that's where the Rabbeinu Yoina writes. In connection with that Gemara, he says, it would appear from the Gemara that reciting Karbonis in the morning, reciting Karbonis is a real din deraisa, because the Rabban Shalom told Avraham Avinu, as you recite the psukim of the Karbonis, he will consider it as if we brought the Karbonis. Rashi, the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Rashi towards the end of Bava Metzia and Peivav, I think. Rashi writes that they only wrote Talmud Babli on those Mesichtas that are Negel Halacha. So you have on Brochus, and the rest of Zoram, we don't have Talmud Babli. Because the mitzvahs of Pleiz Baruch, agriculture mitzvahs, don't apply in Chutzlur, doesn't apply in Bava. Then you have a Moed, a Noshim, and a Zikin. So, and Taurus we don't have because it's irrelevant in Chutzlur. So, how come we have on Kochim? There's no Beis HaMikdash. How come we have on Kochim? So, Rashi writes, no. When you learn Kochim, it's considered Kilu Hikrivu. He quotes this Gemara that quoted in the Shalma for himself, saying, that's considered Halacha Lamaisa because Rabban Shalom told Bnei Yisrael, he told Avraham Avinu, let them recite the psukim of the Karbonis, and he will consider it as if we really brought the Karbonis. Very good. Okay, tomorrow I'd like to start the test on the base. Not such hard Gemara. Not so difficult. Okay.
The explanation you gave for the Gemara in Yuma that Shulam Ava makes the Zdonos Zahuyos, you said the thank reason is because you're going to have a you're going to have her Hurei Tshuva. Whose answer is that? Is that Rebbe's answer or is that
I thought that was the Pashup Pshat in the Gemara. Yeah, I think so.
Shouting, I don't think the Gemara doesn't say it though, does it?
No.
Rebbe, my father wanted to ask, if when we say during Hallel, Lecha Yisbach Zevach Toda, why are we not all now
obligated to bring
every single
Hallel
we ever said?
Right, so most of the time we say Hallel, we recite it on Dovah HaMelech. But how the Shasanes, let's say our Pesach night, is supposed to be spontaneous. We're speaking, so we should have to bring so many Kabbalah Taiga. How many Levi Pesach we said? That's a good question. I don't know, but that's a good question.
I wasn't sure if that
was. Which storybook has the story with the Baal Shem? Oh, thank you.
My father used to have all these swine at home.
Out of Zevin. Out of Zevin, right?
I don't think so. Tell us the story. The biographies of the Yehuda. Tell us the story about the Baal Shem.
Okay,
I
appreciate it.